Sport Podcast in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17 to 10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill. Good to have your company. We are going to look ahead to the four televised Premier League games this weekend and of course the Carabao Cup final, Chelsea versus Manchester City at 4:30 on Sunday. We'll also get bets in the Football League in the company of Pete Farris, Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross, and Alex Dunn will give you a bet in Europe as well. My name is Dave Kellner. I am presenting the podcast alongside the Punt regular, Derek McGovern. First of all, good morning to you, Derek.
Good morning, Dave. Hope all well.
Yeah, all is very well. And joining us on the podcast, our guest from the Football Writers Association, the chief football writer at The Independent, Miguel Delaney, is with us as well. Good morning to you, Miguel.
Good morning.
How are you? Are you well?
Not too bad, thanks. Not too bad. I feel a Champions League week.
And we've caught you in your Madrid hotel, Miguel, having gone to Atleti versus Juventus last night, and a game which Atleti won 2-0 in the end.
Yeah. I mean, it was a really kind of even excellent game until basically Atletico just went into overdrive. I think by the end they were the much better side and looked very strong.
It was not a surprising result, Miguel, but they'd been going through a difficult moment, Atleti, having been beaten by Real Betis and Real Madrid. So I found it slightly surprising they won 2-0, but they've got such an incredible record at home in the Champions League.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, a lot of the build-up to the game had been the talk about how they just weren't as tight or intense or as defensively reliable as they used to be in getting the two Champions League finals. But everything that was said about Atletico actually ended up being true of Juventus, who looked a shadow of themselves. And it was this kind of, I mean, Simeone referenced this after the game, but saying like in the league, just the nature of it's hard to sustain it. But it was if the Champions League and the kind of the feeling of a night like that just restored all of Atletico's best qualities and brought out the best in them.
Mm. I'm guessing Cristiano Ronaldo handled it well.
He didn't in the mix zone afterwards when he was asked several questions by Spanish media, and he just responded by what he did on the pitch, basically, which said, "I have five Champions Leagues, you have none." In reference to Atletico, I presume, rather than the media.
Let's talk about the football this weekend, then. We'll start with the game on Friday night, West Ham taking on Fulham at the London Stadium. West Ham 78-100 to win this game. The draw 29-10, Fulham in the betting at 100-30. The enhancements, Marko Arnautovic to score in a West Ham win, was 17-10. That's been boosted to 2-1. And Alexander Mitrovic to score and Fulham to win was 9-2. That's now 11-2. Derek, West Ham won the reverse fixture 2-0 back in December and have already beaten Palace and Arsenal in London derbies at the London Stadium this season. They haven't won that since that game against Arsenal, though. And even though they picked up a point against Liverpool, which was a good one, they were slightly fortunate to get anything from the game at Selhurst Park. The positive for West Ham is here they're taking on Fulham, who don't travel.
Exactly. I mean, that recent record, they haven't won in five, West Ham. You would say it's a leap of faith to back them at odds on, given that, but that's what most people will be taking, a big leap of faith, because, as you rightly say, the opponents of Fulham, two draws and 11 defeats away from home. I mentioned something about their manager, Dave, last week, Claudio Ranieri, and people are saying, well, you know, it's a terrible record with Greece and one or two other clubs. That wasn't him. Ranieri is what we saw at Leicester. But maybe it isn't. Maybe that is the fluke. And he is what he was at Greece when he turned him into such a laughing stock. They were named Greece too. He's doing a similar job at Fulham. I think they've appointed an absolute dud in this guy. And he hasn't. He's brought nothing out of Fulham since he got there. they look like a defeat waiting to happen. You only have to wait 90 minutes for that to happen. I think West Ham had absolute certainties here. Fulham, this is how bad Fulham are. They're 19-5, that's almost 4-1, to keep a clean sheet. I mean, you might say that's a big price, but have you seen Fulham defend recently? No, no one has. I think West Ham are absolute certainties. It's not often I'll say that, West Ham are odds on, but yeah, I've got to back them.
They do look doomed, Fulham. 8 points from safety now, Miguel, and that win against Brighton hasn't acted as a catalyst that Claudio Ranieri would have hoped for. They've subsequently been beaten in their next two Premier League games, and it's difficult to see Fulham surviving, and maybe they should make a managerial change.
Well, it's what all the fans want. I mean, I think given the kind of atmosphere that's usually at that ground, what is amazing is how almost toxic it's gotten, how just how widespread the will to get rid of Ranieri already is. And I think what's really galling at the moment is that, I suppose, Ranieri was ultimately, first of all, brought in to give a bit of defensive order to that team, particularly after Jukanovic. And we've seen the complete opposite. There's been kind of almost no defensive discipline there. And if that was one of the main reasons he was brought in for, then, and we are running out of time, then it does stand to reason maybe they should consider a change, because other than the odd glimpse in some of those wins, there's been no real improvement. I think they've just been... what's amazing is they're basically the softest touch in the Premier League, even more than Huddersfield, relative to the players they've got.
Yeah. West Ham, by the way, West Ham to win and both teams to score is available at 12-5. And if you're looking on the handicap markets, which you might be doing in this game, West Ham -1, so to win by two clear goals, is available at 21-10, which could be a good value for that game at the London Stadium on Friday night here with William Hill. Let's move on to Burnley versus Spurs, which is the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday, 12:30. Burnley are 9-2 to win the game. The draw, 13-5. Spurs in the betting at 7-10. Enhancements, Chris Wood to score and Burnley to win, was 15-2. That's been boosted to 9-1. And Son Heung-min to score in a Spurs win was 6-4. That's been enhanced to 7-4. And Miguel, what about that Champions League performance last week? Spurs were simply scintillating in the second half against Borussia Dortmund, and I thought it really showcased the quality of Mauricio Pochettino's management as well, because they were so good in the second half, and they've managed to cope with the injuries to Harry Kane and Dele Alli without making a misstep.
Yeah, and it's not too long ago, just towards the end of January, when they got knocked out of the cup by Crystal Palace. They had so many injuries at once, and there was a lot of talk about this is finally after half a decade. Surely Spurs can't cope with this. They're going to tail off now. This could lead to Pochettino realising that, you know, there's too many limits to this club. And yet, once again, they've just managed to pull through it and maintain a supreme level despite all that. It's really, really impressive. It points to, as well as the kind of the nous of Pochettino, particularly in that Dortmund game and the way they did to Dortmund, really, what Juventus did to them last season, outwitted them. But just the resilience in that team to get through this, it's incredible what he's ingrained in that club.
It is, it really is. And I thought, Derek, Jan Vertonghen in that match was absolutely outstanding. Played left wing back. And I think of Jan Vertonghen as a lumbering centre-half, but he was excellent in that game. And Spurs will be confident going into this match with Harry Kane back, and I mentioned Son Heung-min there as well. He's got 8 in his last 8 Premier League appearances for Spurs, scored in 3 straight games as well. So that 7-4, that enhancement on the website, could look good to some. But Burnley are in decent nick as well at the moment,
yeah.
Derek.
They are. And people who don't know punting might say, you know, 9-2, Burnley is a big price. You know, when you say it's a big price in a two-horse race, you want to scream at them and say, it's not a two-horse race, it's a three-horse race, you numpty. What about the draw? But where Spurs are concerned, they'd be right. The draw is never a player with Spurs. They never draw. I don't know how many games it is now, about 30-odd games since they last drew in the league. Mm. Quite incredible. I know Burnley are in great form, and you wouldn't back against them easily at the moment, because, you know, they seem to be the Burnley a couple of seasons ago when they finished, 7th or 8th or something like that. But Spurs away from home, they're just like, it's buying money when you back them. 11 of 13 away from home this season they've won, which is an incredible record. They like that, you know, you're talking about the refusing to be shaken off. It's like when you watch a horse racing and the two favourites, coming out with a double handful in the last furlong, and they take over the horse, the third horse, and the third horse refuses to be shaken off.
Yeah.
Well, Tottenham are like that. They're absolutely incredible. And I like them. I like the look of them. I think 7-10, just under even money. Yeah, you've got to fancy that against Burnley, even though Burnley are in renewed form.
Well, one stat that stands out here as well, Burnley have only taken 2 points from their last 42 available at home against, in inverted commas, big six opponents in the Premier League. They've drawn 2 and lost 12 of their home matches. They do tend to perform much better at home against some of the sides in the bottom half of the table. Miguel, what's your prediction for this game?
Yeah, I think Spurs will. It might be narrow, but I think they'll win.
Yeah, OK.
Yeah, it's difficult to back against them at the moment.
So maybe Spurs 1-0, which is available at 6-1. Spurs 2-0, available at 7-1. At the King Power, we've got Leicester versus Crystal Palace. This is Saturday 5:30. This one, Leicester 23-20 to win it. The draw 23-10, with Crystal Palace in the betting at 5-2. The enhanced odds: Harvey Barnes to score and Leicester to win was 9-2. That's been boosted to 11-2. And Michy Batshuayi to score and Palace to win was 6-1. That's been enhanced to 7-1. Leicester have had quite a difficult run of fixtures to contend with. And following their loss against Newport in the Cup, they've only picked up 1 point. I thought, Derek, they played okay against Manchester United and against Spurs, but they came away with nothing in those two matches. And Claude Puel's under immense pressure at the moment. He left Jamie Vardy out in that game against Spurs, and the crowd were on his back from an early stage.
Rightly so. If you've got Jamie Vardy in your team, one thing you don't do is leave him out. I just can't understand that way of thinking. And they're getting the results they deserve, because people seem to be quick to defend Claude Puel, because he took Southampton up to, what was it, 9th or something, got to a final. You know, and he hasn't done that much wrong at Leicester. But this is a Leicester team that have lost 5 and drawn 1 of the last 6. You've got to be in trouble there. I looked at these prices, Dave, and I saw 5-2 Palace. That looks a bit short, man. Mm. I fancy them here, but I want a bit bigger than that. But then I did a bit more digging, and, you know, you won't be surprised to learn I was being an idiot, because Palace have been in great form recently. 3 wins and 2 draws in the last 5. We spoke at the top of this bulletin about how crap Fulham are. Well, Fulham have gained more points at home than Leicester have this season. I can't believe that, but it's true. In recent weeks, Cardiff have gone to
I've got to check that, Derek. That doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right, does it? Cardiff have won at the King Power. Southampton have gone there and won recently. Why shouldn't Palace, in good form, Palace? I've got to go for them. I expected at least 3-1 for them. But 5-2, I'll be having a dabble on that. And please tell me I'm right about that stat.
I'm going to check it in a second. Palace 5-2 to win at Leicester this weekend. I mentioned Harvey Barnes there. He's impressed me, Miguel, since he's come into the Leicester starting lineup. He is available at 100-30 to score any time in this game. And he's had a couple of chances in. He's only had a few appearances for Leicester so far. But he seems to be in Puel's thoughts in terms of that starting spot.
Yeah, maybe one of the, given a lot of discussions around the team, maybe one of the fewer Leicester players at the moment in thrall to the manager in that way. Given that probably touches on the wider problem. But yeah, I mean, and they kind of need that, because at the moment, they've had a very strange season, Leicester. I mean, yes, the recent record is poor and they've had some really bad home results. And yet, they're such a strange team, because then at the same time, they've pulled off some really, really big wins against the big six. I mean, you mentioned the performance against United and Spurs. There was also the win over City at Leicester, against Chelsea as well. So they're a very strange team in what is, I think, the strange goings on at the club at the moment.
Yeah, and this game is interesting, because Palace are in decent form at the moment, and I do find it very, very difficult to call this one, Miguel.
Yeah, I'd agree. And Palace are almost the opposite of Fulham in that way, and a better team than Fulham, to be fair, in that they're well organised. They're basically what Fulham want to be. And you would fancy them just for straight Palace and maybe for straight Leicester, and then potentially catch them out.
Okay, so what are you going for here, Miguel?
I'd say Palace win.
Alex Dunn here, looking at the European action coming up this weekend, and my nap comes in Germany. I'm going to take you to the Bundesliga, and we're going for Borussia Dortmund to get back to winning ways here. Now, they are 17-20, which is a ludicrously big price. This is a side not only top of the Bundesliga, they are yet to lose a game at home in all competitions this season. You're getting nearly even money about them winning. They're top of the tree. Leverkusen are a good side. They're in fifth. They've won four in a row, but I just think Dortmund are going to have too much here. The issue for Dortmund is they've now drawn three in a row in the league. I watched them against Nuremberg the other night. They drew 0-0 away. On the face of it, that's a poor result. They just had all the possession, all the ball, and couldn't break them down. Leverkusen will offer a little bit more going forward. That'll leave gaps at the back. Dortmund and both teams to score is 7-4. That'll appeal to many, but let's keep this simple. 17-20 on Dortmund to win at home again is knockout value.
Let's move on to Sunday because we've got two huge matches on Sunday afternoon, starting with Manchester United versus Liverpool at Old Trafford. 2:05 kickoff in this one. And the latest odds, Manchester United 2-1, the draw 5-2, Liverpool 13-10. The enhancements, Marcus Rashford to score and Manchester United to win, was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1. And Mohamed Salah to score and Liverpool to win was 12-5. That's been boosted to 11-4. Liverpool looked surprisingly subdued in the Champions League midweek, Miguel. We expect that raucous Anfield atmosphere, big European night, the players to come out of the blocks a million miles an hour. It didn't happen against Bayern Munich, and I get the feeling that even though Jurgen Klopp wouldn't openly admit this, would he be that disgruntled if they went out of the Champions League?
Well, it would free them for just the league to be be-all and end-all, which psychologically it feels like it is right now. I mean, I was actually surprised before the game at how open Klopp was and how much the fans would prefer the league. And I do wonder whether that fed into the performance in the sense that, you mentioned these kind of these European nights at Anfield. I was there, and I was there from their three big knockout games at Anfield last season. And it did just feel more subdued, because I do wonder, when so much is emotionally invested in the league, is it even possible for the players to put in the same type of performance you would associate with them in big league games in a competition like that, where suddenly, which is now, even though it's football's main event, when it's become a little bit of a sideshow for them. And I do think that had a bit of a psychological effect. The only thing I would say is, I suppose, that they have been a little bit flatter of late, Liverpool. I was at the draw against Leicester and the draw against West Ham. And, I mean, it's hard to say what that's down to. There's been some talk that it's down to just Klopp's fitness schedule at this stage of the season, and he's kind of trying to gear them up for what will be a big run-in, or whether they maybe started to feel not so much the pressure, but the kind of the change in psychology of being top, having the chance to go ahead. And it's one other reason why this game will be so indicative of how things might go, especially given Solskjaer's future as well.
Yeah, that's something that you mentioned, Derek, in terms of off-air, this was just before we started the podcast. You felt that the atmosphere had been a little bit flat recently in terms of Liverpool at Anfield.
Well, it is a lot. Especially if you go with Liverpool at Anfield on a Saturday at 3 o'clock, you can't believe it's Anfield. The atmosphere is terrible. It's not so much the atmosphere that's been flat. The team have been flat, and not just recently. They've been flat all season. I cannot believe Liverpool are where they are in the league. Or in Europe, they haven't fired at all. And Miguel, me and Dave have a regular butting of heads about Mohamed Salah. Well, I've said for two seasons now that when he's not scoring, he's a passenger. Right, he's not scoring at the moment. He's an absolute passenger. And what makes it worse for Liverpool is that Roberto Firmino, who is my favourite player, has been abysmal all season as well. So basically they're playing with nine men at the moment, which explains why they were so leaden-footed the other night. Salah is a joke. I've never known a man fool so many people for so long. This guy should not be anywhere near the Liverpool first team at the way he's playing at the moment. Even when he was scoring those goals last season, I said the same. He looks like an amateur. When he's scoring, everybody forgets the other 89 minutes of crapness he's delivered. Well, he's delivering 90 minutes of crapness now and not scoring. And I can't believe he's one of the first names still on the team sheet. But I've said this many, many times, and Dave won't listen to a word I say. Not many people do, particularly at Klopp. Going back to this game, I can't believe Liverpool are so short of 13-10 here. This is not the Man United they pulverised in, December, I think it was. This is a totally different team. And, you know, if you miss United, 2-1 United,
If you miss them a 2-1, you'd be kicking yourself. In fact, you've got my permission to kick others because it's a ridiculous price. I'll finish up by saying you'll strongly argue that for everything you've got on United winning, and if they don't win, I'd argue just as strongly that I never said it.
By the way, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, 25 points in his 9 Premier League games as Manchester United caretaker manager. A win or a draw in this match would see him set a new record points total for a manager in their first 10 games in charge of a Premier League side. And Miguel, first of all, tell Derek he's wrong about Mohamed Salah, who's still got 17 goals this season.
Yeah, I won't be quite so strong as that. I mean, even I saw actually on Tuesday night, there was some, well, in the first half, anyway, some nice link-up play between him and Firmino, and then two nice layoffs. So he offers a bit more than that. But to be fair, I wouldn't completely disagree with the premise that when he's not scoring, he can be kind of, I wouldn't say disappear, but there is this chasm between the Salah on goal scoring form and that maybe the Salah is the general player, and that woman he's on is world class, the other is maybe more, I wouldn't go wrong in saying a passenger. But I suppose what it comes down to is, this is a lot of Klopp's management, is it's that trust that he will row up again, and that's what he's in the team for the idea that he'll return to that level of scoring. I actually do think, you know, it'll win this weekend, though. I wouldn't go as strong as Derek on it as a Salah, but I'd be slightly favouring them.
Yeah, Manchester United 2-1 could be a big price, according to Miguel and Derek. Just before we leave this match as well, I want to talk about this stark contrast in performance for Manchester United since Mourinho departed and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer came in. Paul Pogba's just been hugely influential since the change of management, and he was terrific yet again against Chelsea in the FA Cup. Miguel, how do you feel about Pogba? His performances in the first half of the season, Do you view those as selfish performances, or has he just been inspired by a new manager?
To a degree, and maybe there's some of it was selfish, maybe, and there is maybe something in the idea of the modern player requires more insulation in that way. Maybe it's the kind of academy system they've come through. But in saying that, while I appreciate the factor, I still think 80-90% of the blame in the situation should be on Mourinho. Who, I mean, Pogba was almost the lightning rod for everything wrong with Mourinho's management of that team, right down from the mood to how he was used. So I give Pogba the benefit of the doubt there, while allowing that he has just some frustrations to him. But so this is, once he's managed correctly, maybe once his talent's used correctly, this is what he can be. And he has been exceptional.
One final question before we move on, because I've had a debate with a Manchester United fan in the office about this. Would you give Solskjaer the job permanently if Mauricio Pochettino was open to the idea of taking over Manchester United in the summer? Who would you give the job, Solskjaer or Pochettino? Derek, first with you.
Well, when Solskjaer, I thought he was a certainty to get it. And then he got a bit of a chastening against PSG, and I thought, well, is this guy up to the top level tactics-wise, given what, you know, the poor time he had at Cardiff, given the fact he's only been at Mold, you know, in the Norwegian hinterland somewhere. But the way United have turned the season around from what they were to what they are now, what more could he have done, really? I think he's got to be given a job now. I've come full circle yet again. I think he's got to be given a job. And if they beat Liverpool on Sunday, as I think they will, you try and get rid of him then. The United fans won't allow it.
Miguel?
Solskjaer has done brilliantly, better than I expected. There might be much more of a manager there than I'd expect. But at the same time, I think Pochettino is definitively one of the best in the game right now. And if there's any sort of a chance to get him and you pass it up, I think you could regret it.
I agree. So I agree with you, Miguel. I disagree with you again, Derek. It's like Salah all over again. let's talk about the Carabao Cup final then, to finish off this segment of the podcast. Chelsea are 9-2 to win the game. The draw 100-30. Manchester City in the betting at 8-15. To lift the trophy, Chelsea are 5-2. Manchester City at 2-7. Derek, what's happening at Chelsea? Maurizio Sarri ball. It's becoming a little bit of a laughing stock.
It is. I mean, he has his critics, sorry, but in my view, not enough. I mean, I've been looking, since it's all gone pear-shaped at Chelsea, I've been looking at his CV, really. But he didn't play football professionally. He was a banker, apparently, and no team under him have ever been bankers. He's been a joke. He's managed Empoli, he's managed Napoli, and now he's managing Chelsea crappily. He's just, I think he's a myth. He's another one of these myths, like Ranieri. And I can't see how he'll be in this same job from the end of the season. He'll have to go.
It does seem like stubbornness continuing to play N'Golo Kante out of position, and that's something that he's asked about almost in every single press conference at the moment, Miguel. And he says that it's because he likes the player in that position to move the ball quickly, and that's not one of Kante's best characteristics. But the fans don't see it that way, and they've started to boo. You mentioned an atmosphere becoming toxic at a football stadium, and that's what's happening at Stamford Bridge at the moment.
Yeah, I was there on Monday, and I've covered a lot of Chelsea over the last few years, and I've rarely seen it. This was basically as bad as when Benitez first came in, which is pretty remarkable. And even Benitez, I think he could subject some of the chance about his style of football in that way. Sarri, he said afterwards, he acted like he didn't care. Mm. It possibly doesn't, maybe. He feel like the process will continue. We'll keep playing the way we try to play. I do feel a bit of sympathy for him, and I think, like, again, wouldn't go as far as Derek. I think he's had one of the more distinctive coaching careers, but he ultimately got that job at Napoli because he did show real improvement at Empoli. Napoli were exceptional to watch. I think they were somewhat unlucky that they came up against the Juventus team that was basically just on another level financially. And he did as well at Napoli as he could have, and they played some brilliant football. But yeah, at the same time, I was talking to an Asian who's worked with Chelsea a bit, and he basically described it. It's like he's such a kind of a purist or so. There's this kind of streak of independence about him, or almost piracy with Sarri in the way he coaches, that it's a bit like the USA appointing Che Guevara as president. Such a difference between the club and the manager. And I think that just sums it up in general, that there's a bit of a mismatch there between what he is and what the squad is. And one of the reasons I've heard, one of the main reasons that the squad or the team aren't playing well, and why there's been such a drop off their form since October, is that the players basically feel completely overloaded with tactical instructions. There's just too much for them to take in. And it's just produced what we're seeing now, just confused football. And I mean, does anyone doubt that City will do something similar to them they did 2 weeks ago?
It's likely to happen, isn't it? I mean, Manchester City 8-15 to win the game. But Derek, from a betting perspective, I'm looking at these prices, 9-2 Chelsea at a neutral venue. You couldn't have imagined getting a price like that on Chelsea a couple of months ago. But City are just so free scoring at the moment. Another huge result for them on Wednesday night, coming from behind with 10 men to beat Schalke in the Champions League. Leroy Sané, what a hit, Derek, for that free kick.
That free kick, I was thinking when I watched that last night, that's the best free kick I've ever seen, I don't know how you can hit a ball like that, it's not possible.
It was reminiscent of that Ronaldo one, wasn't it, against Portsmouth, when David James just cast his eyes to the sky and he didn't move a muscle.
I know, you could have had four keepers in there, it wouldn't have stopped that, it was just absolutely unbelievable. And you're right, you know, you look at the prices, because I know the squad Chelsea got there, that's some top players there, and if they had a proper manager and they were committed, they're the team that should be challenging for the title, but they've obviously got a clown in charge and the players aren't interested, and so the prices aren't wrong, they should be wrong, but they're not. City won the first set 6-0 a couple of weeks ago. It, the way things are at the moment, it could well be that again. I just can't, the only thing that maybe gives Chelsea a chance, and it's a cup final, and these players might think, okay, we've got a clock for the manager, but this is a cup final at Wembley. You know, let's turn it on a bit. That is a possibility because they still got a lot of talent there. But they've lost three times at Wembley already this season, Chelsea. And this will be a fourth. I think City is set.
Manchester City -1 on the handicap, available at 6-4. Miguel, what's your prediction?
Yeah, City, but comfortably, to be honest.
Okay, City -2 available at 4-1 if you fancy City to hand out another big beating to Chelsea in the Carabao Cup final this weekend. Let's finish off with the best bets then this weekend. Derek, let's get yours first up.
This is nothing to do with betting, but why are Cardiff Watford on the playing on Friday night?
Yeah, I've no idea about that. There's two games. Obviously, there's the West Ham Fulham game and the Cardiff Watford game. I'm not sure, to be honest, Eric.
Bizarre, isn't it? Bizarre. I think I would have to go for Man United at 2-1 to beat Liverpool. I think it's just way, way too big.
Okay, Manchester United 2-1. Miguel, your best bet this weekend?
I'd almost go for above 4 goals in a League Cup final.
Yeah, so City to win, maybe City to win and over 3.5 goals in the match could be a good bet. City to win and over 2.5 goals is odds against at 5-4. So I'll put that in as part of this treble. And I'm going to follow your lead here. I'm going to go with Palace to beat Leicester this weekend at the King Power. So that's a 22.62-1 treble. Manchester United at 2-1. Man City to win and over 2.5 at 5-4. And Crystal Palace at 5-2. Miguel, thank you for your company.
No problem at all. Thank you.
Thank you, Derek.
Pleasure.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in to the podcast so far. We're going to finish this podcast with a look at the Football League this weekend. We're starting off with Pete Farries and his best bet in the Championship.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries, and for my Championship nap this week, I'm going to go back to a 90-minute bet. The 90-minute bet is going to be Birmingham at 23-20 at St Andrews against Blackburn Rovers. Blackburn's form has of late dipped right off, hasn't it? We're beaten by Middlesbrough last Sunday. A 2-1 loss at Reading, a 1-0 loss at home against Bristol City isn't terrible. And yes, okay, 5-2 to Brentford, but Brentford have found some form. But away from home, 4 losses from 5 with only the win at Millwall, a struggling Millwall in that bracket. Their away form just isn't right for me, and nor is their general form. Now, of course, Birmingham did lose to Bolton at home, back on Tuesday the 12th, and that's not a good result, and I'm being kind. But they started the season in incredible home form. They've lost only to Bristol City and Borough outside of that, and 23-20 just felt a bit big for a side who I don't think have been awful against a side whose form is really struggling. So it's as simple as that this week. Birmingham 23-20 is my Championship nap of the week. Whatever you're backing, very best of luck. Let's hear from Gav Pujolowski and get his thoughts on League One.
Everybody knows that the football season starts in August and finishes in May, but not for the side I'm backing this weekend as my nap selection in League One. Because last season they didn't turn up and play till after Christmas, and this season it's exactly the same. That's why I'm backing Plymouth at 6-5 at home to Rochdale. Plymouth have won 3 of the last 4 games at home, so their form at home park is seriously picked up. And Rochdale have been pretty poor all season. They've lost 3 of the last 4 games in League One, including a 4-3 defeat at home to Wimbledon midweek. And away from home, they've lost 3 of the last 4 games as well. And Rochdale seriously leaking goals, conceding 4s and 2s and 5s. So I'm all over Plymouth in this one to win at 6-5. One thing to bear in mind is the last 2 meetings between these 2 sides, both teams have scored, 5 goals have been scored in those 2 meetings, and all 5 have come in the second half. So this might be 0-0 at half time. But either way, I'm backing Plymouth as my nap to beat Rochdale at 6-5. Looking at League 2. Here's Al Ross.
It's to Gresty Road we head for this week's nap, where Crewe are 11-8 to get the better of an Exeter side who are doing all right, just not all right by Crewe's very high standards. Crewe have 4 wins in 6. They've got an unbeaten record that stretches back to New Year's Day, but we don't want an unbeaten record, we want a winning record. Thankfully, that's what they've been serving up at home on a regular basis. 8 wins in 10 at home, including all of the last 5 straight. And if you think Crewe's run might be because of easy fixtures, let me tell you, Crewe are 13th. The only team in that 5-match winning run that's below them in the current table is below them on goal difference. 2 of the others are in the playoff places. Another are the leaders, Lincoln. The last time Crewe failed to win at home, you may not have had your Christmas tree up yet. The last time Exeter failed to win away was their last away game. And the one before that, they were at home last week, they lost that one as well. I don't mean to do Exeter down because I think they're a very good team capable of getting very good results, but 3 of their 5 away wins in the league this season did come in their opening 4 away games, so I'm surprised at the price. Crewe, 11-8.
Thank you everyone for tuning into the Punt Podcast. Special thanks goes to our FWA guest this week, the Independent's chief football writer Miguel Delaney, for his thoughts on the games this weekend. A thank you of course to Derek McGovern, Pete Ferries, Gav Pushlowski, Al Ross and Alex Dunn as well, and of course to you for listening to the podcast. Check out all the betting at sports.williamhill.com. Plenty of enhancements across the course of the weekend, especially on Sunday. Two huge games, with Manchester United taking on Liverpool, and we have Chelsea versus Manchester City in the Carabao Cup final. So sports.williamhill.com for all the latest odds, and of course all those bets available on the William Hill app as well. We will be back next week with more from the Punt Podcast, but for now, have a very enjoyable weekend folks, and happy betting.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.